The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. These are your words, Holy Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen." There are at least 1,000 sermons in this text. It speaks of so many things: baptism, the Holy Spirit, Jesus as the promised Messiah, as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God. All of these things tie together with one phrase: he takes away the sin of the world. Two chapters later in this Gospel of John, Jesus speaks with Nicodemus about baptism, being born again of water and the Spirit. And here, John speaks about the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus when he was baptized. What an amazing thing that must have been. The Holy Trinity clearly present at that time. Jesus being baptized in the water, the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and the Father's voice speaking from the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son." And we are baptized into that very same Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our baptism, because it comes from God himself, washes away all our sins. Because Jesus himself puts his righteousness, his holiness into those waters when he himself is baptized. As we just sang, there he did consecrate a bath to wash away transgression, to rescue us from bitter death. We are washed in Jesus' sinlessness when we are baptized, because he shed his innocent blood for us sinners. As John writes in his first epistle, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is because Jesus is the promised Messiah who was depicted in all of those sacrifices of the Old Testament. A lamb was brought forth to give its life, to give its blood for the sins of the people. And John points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." We call him this because of his great sacrifice, shedding his innocent blood on the cross to pay for our sins. And we sing to him as the Lamb of God when we come for communion. O Christ, the Lamb of God, have mercy upon us. Grant us your peace. Because there in the cup, we receive the very blood that Christ shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We know this and believe it because these are the very words Jesus says when he institutes the Lord's Supper the night before his crucifixion. "Take, drink, this is my blood given for you for the remission of sins." It's a mystery and a miracle that we can never understand, something our eye cannot see, something we cannot prove scientifically. The eye sees wine. Faith believes Jesus' word and recognizes it as his holy blood. The last verse of today's hymn will make a similar observation about water of baptism. "And though our mortal eye is dim and sees but simple water, faith sees Christ Jesus and in him the Lamb ordained for slaughter. We see the cleansing fountain red with the dear blood of Jesus, which from all sins inherited and our misdeeds can free us, eternal life bestowing." But how can one lamb, how can the life of one man save us from sin? in fact, save the whole world. It is because he is the Lamb of God who is also the Son of God. God is eternal, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving, all-gracious, all-merciful. And this applies to Jesus as well, because he is true God from eternity, and also true man, our truly human brother, born of the Virgin Mary. So his life is a divine life. When he lays down his life for us, it is worth more than creation itself. His blood is the blood of God. And that is why John can say, he takes away the sin of the world. We inherited sin from our earthly forefathers, all the way back to Noah, all the way back to Adam. And the Bible has many words that describe those various aspects of sin. We cross the line, we miss the mark, we rebel, we twist and misuse what is good. All of these things condemn us. There's no escape. But in the end, who really will be condemned? It is not simply all sinners, because that's all of us. But it is the sinner who does not repent, the sinner who does not have faith, the sinner who does not trust God's mercy, who does not trust the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We'll sing about this also in the hymn where it says, "Who in God's mercy hath not faith is condemned to death." But we, with the blind man, with the leper, with the tax collector, and so many others, we simply have to cry out, "Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy on us. God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Faith grabs on to that mercy of God, clings to it, holds God to his promise. And the Bible has many words also for God's forgiveness. He washes us, purges us, cleanses us, blots out our iniquities, takes away our sins. And the hymn says this too, to wash away transgression, to rescue us from bitter death. All who believe and are baptized shall thereby have salvation. We see the cleansing fountain. We're freed from sin's damnation. We shall inherit heaven. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. Amen.